You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Just a moment here. Say a short prayer for Craig as they're putting him in the ambulance to take him to the hospital where he will be well taken care of. But as he travels, let's pray for he and for Christy. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up to you Craig and Christy as whatever has come upon Craig this morning. We know that he is in your capable hands. You are Jehovah Rapha, healer God, the God who heals. And so we ask you to be that for Craig this morning. We ask you to send your angels to give charge over him and for the medical team that takes care of him this morning, that he may emerge from the other side of this well and whole. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, a lot of moving parts this morning. As you can tell, things are not as we had thought they would be when we got up. And that's sometimes the way life in the human condition works. It's interesting, and the Holy Spirit always works behind the scenes. I'm convinced of that. I have been convinced of that for as long as I've been in ministry, that there's much more going on behind the scenes that we're not even aware of, including how the Holy Spirit works to tie all things together. And so this morning, I want to come to you with a message out of 1 Corinthians 15. There is a version of it, I believe, in the bulletin. It's not the same version that I'll be reading now, but I think you can follow along and get the gist of it. This is Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter of it, and this is what Paul says to us about the resurrection of Christ. He says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." What's Paul trying to say to us here in First Methodist Church Splendora this morning? I think the text here in his first letter to the church in Corinth points out something about human nature. You see, in our human condition, we tend to give a lot of attention to the things that don't really matter, and only passing attention to the things that really do matter. The trivial things seem to have more weight in our day-to-day lives than do the truly important things. I think that's true for most anybody alive today in the world. We focus a lot, put a lot of time and energy into stuff that really is of no consequence to eternity. And we Christ followers are no exception to this human nature in which we find ourselves. We don't put that much thought, most of us, into the one thing that matters most to us with regard to our eternal salvation. The one thing that determines our eternal standing in God's eternal kingdom, which is what we believe concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The facts dealing with the resurrection of Jesus are central and essential if we are to call ourselves Christian at all. And yet most, if not all of us, ever spend more than a passing thought on the subject. And so Paul calls us out here in this passage in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, friends, let me go over the gospel with you. Let me recall to your attention the gospel that I proclaimed and that you made your own, this gospel message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. And I'm assuming, Paul says, that your belief was indeed the real thing and not some passing fancy, that you're in this for good and you're holding firm and fast to your faith. That's the assumption. The gospel of Jesus' resurrection is fundamental to your faith. Fundamental to your salvation. Without it, there is no faith. Without it, there is no salvation. Paul tells us very clearly in another of his letters to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 10, Verses 8 through 10, he says, but what does it say, the gospel? What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Paul explains that the first thing that he did was to place before us the same thing that was so emphatically placed in front of him, that the Messiah Jesus died for our sins. Exactly as Scripture says it, that he was buried, that he was raised from death on the third day. Again, exactly as Scripture describes, that he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and a little bit later to more than 500 of his followers, all at the same time. And Paul says, he reminds us that in Paul's day, most of them were still around, they were still alive. Then he spent time with James and the rest of those that Paul had commissioned to represent him. And he finally presented himself, Jesus finally presented himself alive to Paul. It was fitting, Paul says, that I bring up the rear. Because I didn't deserve to even be in the inner circle, he says. As you well know, Paul says, I spent all of those early years trying my best to stamp God's church out of existence. So Paul has got a thorn in his side, his remembrance of who he used to be before he was saved by Jesus. And it haunts him still as you read his writings to the churches. He knows where he came from. He also knows that the grace of God saved him from who he was. And Paul wants all of us to understand this fundamental truth of the resurrection of Jesus and the impacts that it has on your life. Indeed, we have no life at all without it. Now, in a little more than 2 weeks, we will begin the journey to the cross with Jesus. Ash Wednesday is coming up, and the Lenten season is going to be upon us. And it's not too soon, even though we're 2 weeks out, to begin preparing our hearts for the journey to the cross with Christ. Because Jesus' work on the cross and his time in the tomb made possible the reconciling of your eternal soul to God the Father. He took your sins to the cross, and they were buried with him in the tomb. Jesus conquered death so that you might have eternal life. His resurrection means you too have a resurrection through him. And so what you believe about the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference as to where you spend eternity. Paul tells us that he is the least of the apostles because of his past transgressions against the church. And when you prepare your heart for this Lenten journey that's ahead, perhaps you might be sharing a little bit of what Paul is feeling, feelings of unworthiness for all that God has poured out on you. I know I feel that way at times. In fact, if I'm completely transparent, most times I feel that unworthiness. But Paul and so many others in the Holy Scriptures remind us that our worthiness to be used mightily by God's kingdom does not depend on our abilities, on our holiness, on our track record. No, it does not. Matter of fact, tell your neighbor, it doesn't depend on me. It does not depend on me. But rather, God uses the least of us and the tiny bits of faith we can muster to do the greater works in his kingdom. Paul says, because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am. So when you get those feelings of unworthiness, just remember the gracious God who doesn't call the equipped, but equips the called. So very generous, and here you are. And Paul says, I'm not about to let God's grace go to waste. I won't let God's grace go to waste. Paul says, haven't I worked hard trying to do more than anybody else? Because of my feelings of unworthiness, I feel like I have to do more. You ever feel like that? I got to do better than the next guy because I'm not worthy. Even then, Paul says, my work didn't amount to all that much. Paul, you know, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. Didn't amount to much. It was God giving me the work to do, God giving me the energy to do it. So whether you heard it from Paul or whether you heard it from those other apostles, it's all the same. All of us did our very best to speak God's truth, and you entrusted your lives to it. That's a tremendous amount of responsibility, church. That you have, that you share in the spreading of the truth of the gospel. And like Paul says, God is indeed gracious to us. Especially those of us who confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Confession brings righteousness. and believing the resurrection brings salvation, and God looks favorably on those who confess and believe. You can take that to the bank. So I want all of us to begin the journey to the cross with Christ on the same page, on a level playing field. I want all of us to have the same understanding concerning our faith, concerning the gospel, concerning the saving grace of the resurrection power of God for us, for you and me, through Jesus Christ. I want us to be awake and aware this morning as we begin this journey, because sleeping through it in the doldrums of the human condition is not an option for Christians. It's not an option for you. Tell your neighbor, I'm awake. Tell your other neighbor, I'm aware. You're awake and you're aware. I'm awake and aware. Now I want to do something. Since we've been standing and declaring and pledging this morning, I got another pledge for you. Everybody stand as you're able. And repeat this declaration after me. I am awake and aware of the saving grace of God poured into my life by the resurrection power of God in Christ. It is foundational to my faith. It is the bedrock of my salvation. It is the truth upon which I stand. And the peace in which I abide. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the whole church said, Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.